For me, it's headspace. Because of the job I do, it's quite stressful. I have a routine where usually, not recently, but usually I'd shut the laptop around 4 o'clock. By about 4:30, I'm out. And I'd normally run for about an hour. And by the time I come back, on whatever stuff's happened during the day has just been sort of run out. Doing the running keeps them fit and healthy, and keeps them mentally healthy as well. So I would always encourage people to take it up.
Hello and welcome to another Running Tales podcast, where we talk to everyday runners who've achieved extraordinary things. I'm Craig Lewis, and my guest this week is Pete Moore, who people from my neck of the woods in Northamptonshire, England, will almost certainly be familiar with as a stalwart of the local running scene. As well as completing approaching 250 park runs, Pete is a regular at events up and down the county, as well as in neighbouring Bedfordshire and Milton Keynes. In fact, if you don't see him there, it probably hasn't actually happened. He's a real all-rounder, taking on races from 5Ks to ultras with 15 marathons to his name. And it's not just local events that attract Pete, who combines his love of travelling with that of running. He's completed three, Boston, Chicago and London, of the six marathon majors, with Berlin, Tokyo and New York firmly on his wish list, as well as taking on ultras in the Faroe Islands and marathons throughout Europe. I started our conversation by asking Pete how and why he's done so many events in Northamptonshire.
I think mainly it's been through the running club that I belong to, Northampton Roadrunners. And generally, there'll always be somebody who says, "Oh, have you heard of this race?" And or I find them. So, like Stemmington 12K, which is a Bedfordshire one, but it's quite a good race. It's local. The money goes back into the community, which is, I'll be honest, this is what I'm kind of looking for now, is more races like that than anything else. I'll still do the big ones, but if I'm going to run locally, I'll find something that's good. Yeah, I've done the Shires and Spires a few times, the local race circuit, although I haven't done that for a little while, obviously because of COVID. Yeah, I generally try to find stuff that's interesting. So it's like the Milton Keynes series, like the MK Festival of Running, Twin Lakes. I did that for the first time, I think, a couple of years ago. This is interesting. I only did the 10 miles. I've got this thing about laps. I don't like doing
Right.
them. I prefer to do like out and back, or it's a point to point, really.
You have kind of done every distance though, even local races, I think, from 5K up to the marathon distance, and as you hinted with Shires and Spires beyond as well.
Yeah, I have, yeah. The longer stuff, I'll be honest, I usually get talked into it. I have a number of friends, Matt Brand, Stuart Drummond, and Dave Green. Between the four of us, we usually egg each other into kind of doing these things. It's like we always go and do the Grizzly now down in Devon, which is a 20-mile cross-country race. But it's more like a kind of festival race. It's really good. The community is really, they all turn out for it. And it's a good, we've only had rubbish weather a couple of times. Most of the time, it's really good, apart from running along the shingle beach towards the end, which is usually a bit strength sapping, but it's
Yeah, I
worth
bet.
it. Another stuff I tend to find myself, Stockholm Half, I found it. When I was away with my girlfriend at the time, we were just wandering around on the Saturday and we saw this expo. And at that point, she turned around to me, she said, "Don't you dare buy any running shoes because I'm not letting you do it." So I went back the next year and did it. Yeah, I've done it about four times now. I'll be honest, it's one of my favorite races. It's half marathon. Again, the Swedes turn out, it's a fantastic atmosphere. Brilliant. And the course is really good as well.
You have a favourite distance. Is it the half marathon that's your sweet spot?
Yes, if I'm being honest, half marathon. But I loathe marathon I want to do the big six. So, and I'm about halfway through now. So I've done London, Chicago, and Boston. And Boston ranks as my favorite so far. That's just, it's so amazing. And there's support from start to finish. At no point do you feel like you're on your own, which is really good. It's quite helpful.
Yeah, definitely, because it can make a huge difference. The support, obviously, people are starting to talk about the support that people will get for London next week. But Boston's when we're speaking on Sunday, Boston's tomorrow, isn't it? So people getting ready for that now.
Yeah. I was so pleased I managed to qualify for it back in 2018. So I signed up for it. My partner, she's keen to travel with me. So if I find these races now, she looks at it as a kind of traveling opportunity with a race. So hence why I've done Tromsø a couple of times. Yeah, I've done Stockholm, been to the Faroe Islands twice, done an ultra there. Yeah, anywhere I can find anything really. If it's interesting and worth the trip, I'll do it.
Definitely. Well, because a lot of people we speak to will talk about how when they're doing their runs all around the world, that it is that chance to see the world, and that the best way to see the city or countryside, yep, wherever they might be, is by running around it for 26.2 miles or whatever the distance is.
I'll be honest, that's how come I saw most of Chicago. So because you walk through all the neighborhood, and that was pretty good. And Faroe Islands, they're ultras. I've done them twice. Stunning. Absolutely stunning countryside. Quite tough. I finished last the first time I did it, and I think I was second or third from last.
So are these fairly small fields then out there?
Yeah, they're very conscious about limiting the footprint, so they cap each of the races. I think it's no more than 50 people. Yeah, so that's to minimise the damage on the paths that you use and everything like that. So, which is quite good.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's interesting. People may have picked up from just the snippets of what you said already, obviously finishing last in a race like that, you don't generally finish last. People who qualify for Boston don't generally finish last in races, do they?
No, but it's, it's ultra marathon running, and I think it's 45 miles. Unless you go there, you can't understand the terrain. I think it was exceptionally tough. And the last section, you've got to come down. Apparently, little old ladies go up and down this all the time, but we were trying to run this, and I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they do it. But yeah, I found it quite challenging the first time. Second time, I knew what I was letting myself in for. I just took it easy, really. I enjoyed it. But first time, I met a nice Danish guy. I had a bit of a meltdown at the top at the last checkpoint because I couldn't see the flags. They're no more than this big. And apparently, between the sheep and the crows, they've been eaten or knocked over. So I'm looking for this tiny little pennant and I couldn't see it. And thankfully, his girlfriend's Faroese, so he kind of knew the route already. So we just kind of ran in towards the end. So I was all right with that one. So,
Is that the hardest race you've done?
Yeah, one of them, yeah. One year when I did Snowdonia, I'd badly twisted my ankle in the summer and I hadn't fully recovered. And I taped it up because I wasn't going to back out. And yeah, that was extremely hard. Extremely hard. I wouldn't have done it now. Yeah, back then I was a bit more stubborn, so probably stupid. Sorry.
Well, there's, doing the marathons and the ultras and some of the terrains that you're going over, that there is sort of this argument with runners that you do have to be a little bit crazy to take on those sort of distances, don't you?
Yeah. My other favourite, I did the Grizzly one year, and it's when we had the Beast from the East. And it was, we had so much snow, even down in Devon, and so many of us had already travelled there. And in the end, they decided to put on half distance. But effectively what they said was, we don't care how far you go out, so you can go run down the end of the promenade and back, or you can run the whole 10 miles if you want. That's one of the best experiences, jumping through the snow drifts on the cliffs and coming back. I loved it, absolutely loved it. I couldn't feel the side of my face, though. My beard had frozen at that point. There's photos out there of just ice.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe we'll have to find those and dig them out for show notes. One other thing we crazy like as runners, we kind of like to suffer ourselves, but there's nothing better than seeing somebody else having suffered doing something.
Yeah, I tend to run in vest and shorts most of the time, to some people's surprise, depending on the weather. There's Urchester I did this year, and I was basically stripped off as far as I was prepared to. The cold doesn't usually bother me that much, as long as I have my hands and feet are warm.
So do you prefer running in the cold to running in more extreme heat?
Yeah, Boston absolutely cooked me. It was nice to know that it wasn't just us in the mid-pack and towards the end. Even the elites were suffering, because we've got friends who live there and they watch it every year, and they said even the elites looked like they were struggling that year. Polar opposite to previous years, they were absolutely lashing it down with rain. It was really wet and windy. And the year I did it, it was bright sunshine for about 4 hours.
Wow. Just as you were going round. So what sort of temperature were we talking there?
Oh, probably mid-20s, a bit higher. And you get the heat island effect as well, because of the concrete and everything. So it's probably a lot hotter. And then, yeah, I'd finished it. And then by the time we found somewhere to go and have something to drink, yeah, chucking it down again. So, yeah, the entire window.
Well, Michelle, as you know, has done a few marathons herself, and she swears that she hasn't done one that's under 20 degrees yet. It just always seems to, the sun hits the pavement, cracks the pavement. It's as hot as it could possibly be, even when she's done it in cold places. And she's looking eagerly at the weather forecast for London next week, and they're saying it could be hot again. So.
I know a few people are doing it. I'm just thinking, that's not good. So good. I think the coldest one I've ever done was probably Leicester, and that was because it absolutely chucked it down the entire way around. You know, the underpasses were flooded. You know, the little timing chips on the back of our bibs, that for some reason they thought they'd stick them in little pouches, and the glue just melted away in the rain. And you hear these little plink, plink, plink noises at the start. Mm-hmm. And mine must have dropped around probably 16 miles.
I did the first ever Milton Keynes marathon. Was my first marathon of the grand total of two. And for people who did that, they'll remember that it was just basically like running in a monsoon.
Yes.
a friend of mine who did it as well actually weighed his clothes afterwards and said they weighed an extra sort of 4 kilos or something with all the water on them. So it's horrendous.
Yeah, I felt for you guys that day. I don't think I was running at all at any point, and I just saw the weather and I was like, oh no. But Milton Keynes has that reputation sometimes. It can chuck it down, and then some of the underpasses get flooded, or some of the course does.
And for those people who are now, because we are firmly in marathon season now, Manchester this weekend, as I said, Boston tomorrow, yesterday by the time people listen to this, London coming up, and I think the Dublin one's before the end of the month and so on. You've obviously done a few marathons. What would your advice be to people getting into the last week of their preparations now, perhaps tapering, perhaps suffering from a bit of nerves in the run-up?
Don't do anything silly. Don't go out and, don't do anything ridiculous like go and run stupid times. There's a friend of mine across the road, and she's only going to go out for a light gentle jog. So do that. Don't even go to the gym. Nerves is something you're never really going to get away from. I still get nervous. I've done 15 of them now, and I still, I still have the nerves. And it's not just marathons; it's any race. You know, if you're kind of feeling it, it just gets in your head. But yeah, generally I try to wind down, and then not do anything silly, and then come race day, just go for it.
And is there a sort of nutrition plan you go for the night before, or are you a gels man?
I tend to eat as many carbs as I can over the week, which is really good because I love pasta. So I eat as much as I can. I use gels most of the time. When I've done longer distances, I've kind of ditched those in favour of sort of more natural food because it's just easier to eat. So when I've done the ultras, I've not used gels at all. I've just carried things like saurine and like jelly babies and things like that. They're much nicer on your stomach and you don't feel so rubbish at the end after just consuming carb after carb after carb in this gel.
And I guess the difference as well is that you might be stopping longer at an aid station rather than rushing past to grab some water or whatever, and you might also be walking for periods, so it makes it more possible to do that kind of thing, doesn't it?
I've taken to walking through the water stations now at some of the big races because it's just easier. Yeah, and it doesn't really take much off your time. Mm. You just stop tripping over anything and just gives you that little bit of breathing space. And you're not trying to chuck electrolyte over your face because you've not heard them, what they've handed out, which has happened to me. I've done that more than once.
Right.
Boy, it was lobbed it over my face and wondered why my eyes have been stinging and I've been sticky. So it's, it's worth doing, slowing down and just walking through.
And do you do that when you do 30Ks and things like that? Because I know you do quite a few of those as well.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I tend to take it easier at that point. I'm not going to lie. It was like 2018 was my year. And since then, I've not been able to get anywhere near it. And that's partly down to COVID and just not being quite as obsessed with it, I suppose.
Yeah. When you say COVID, was that just the period of lockdown and so on? Or did you actually get COVID? Or both?
We did. Yeah, we did both, actually. We went to Tromso in January 2020, and both of us got pretty sick. My girlfriend got really sick, and I don't usually get anything because I always have the flu jab, so that's why we thought it was something different. And since then, I've not probably been able to get anywhere near the kind of pace or anything that I used to be able to do. So I've kind of not resigned myself to it, but been more realistic that perhaps there is a threshold I've not found yet, but I don't think I'm going to go beyond.
Is there anything you can put your finger on with that? I don't know, breathing difficulties still, or just feeling that you're not getting as much air in, or just a general fatigue?
Yeah, lung capacity probably isn't quite the same. And yeah, the fatigue level's a little bit different. Yeah, I've just not been right since then. So, you know, generally now I try and enjoy it. I was supposed to be doing Edinburgh this year, but marathon training wasn't really going anywhere. So I kind of knocked it on the head rather than put too much pressure on myself. I try and enjoy it, but still, you know, when you're trying to do a marathon, you kind of want to crack out a reasonable time. So, yeah, I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I'd probably not be happy about the outcome.
There's always degrees of enjoyment with marathon running as well, isn't there? Because it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I think for the big six, it's just enjoying the experience. I'm not so fussed about the time. You know, it's being in some places like Boston and Chicago and London, and hopefully at some point, New York, Berlin and Tokyo. And then I officially retire from marathon running at that point.
That is very much the aim now, to tick off those other three. Makes it sound really easy saying it like that, but get those three, have the big six done. Are there any sort of firm plans in place for when you're likely to take those on?
Ballots for New York and Berlin open up again towards the end of the year, so I'll sign up for them. Tokyo, I think I'm going to do through a sports company because it's Japan. I don't speak Japanese and I can't really blag it as much as I can when I go to Europe.
Yeah.
But yeah, once they're done, that's it, done. But then we, you know, there's been discussion of my girlfriend would like to go to Mongolia, and there's a race there. So, you know, potentially we might wind up doing that if we ever get out that far. But, you know, that kind of thing, it's like, you know, you find something, you think, oh yeah, that's interesting. It's like Svalbard. That's on our list.
Is that a marathon?
Yeah, it is. Although I'm only going to do the half marathon because they drive around with polar bear guards on quad bikes. So I'd rather just do the one lap. But it's an experience, and you know, it's the, you know, you've got the seed vault and everything like that, and it's just somewhere different that most people probably won't ever go.
That sounds fantastic to take on something like that. And there's not many people who are going to be. When you're down the running club talking to your mates at Northampton Road Runners, there's not too many going to be able to turn around and say, oh yeah, I've done the Mongolia half or Mongolia marathon. So
I think I like it because I like to travel. And I think because I run as well, I kind of combine both. And I like to sightsee, but we don't do sightseeing in the traditional way. We'll just bimble around places like Amsterdam. Don't even do the tourist attractions. We just look at things like drain pipes.
This fits into, I'm guessing, like people who will hear you talk about, we just look at things like drain pipes and they might not realise that you work as a planner. So that kind of is, that fits into your personality, doesn't it?
we both like design and architecture. So, you know, we invariably we wind up having to wander around and just taking photos of things like that rather than wandering around an art gallery, which, to be honest, you know, I don't get it. I don't get the art thing, but architecture is different. I understand it and I kind of like it, but art, no.
And has it been a favourite race where you've, which has been particularly, sticks in your mind particularly for like the architecture you've seen in the city or wherever you've been?
Chicago. Yeah, Chicago. It was really interesting seeing the different, because they run you through, I think it's 13 neighbourhoods, and the different styles, the different communities, the, you know, the way the buildings and streets are looked after. And it was really good. It was really good. And then the following day, we did an architecture tour on the river. So it was good. It was good to see other bits of it. But yeah, Chicago sticks in my brain for that one. Stockholm, probably very similar.
Just going back to the local running and so on, I wouldn't be able to get away with a conversation with you without talking a little bit about Northampton Road Runners, because it is a big club around the area. How did you first get involved with them, and what makes that club so special for you?
My girlfriend at the time decided she was going to get into running. That's when we both lived in Moulton. They were the local club at the time. Claire, she went down and she ran a few times. And she started meeting these three guys on a Sunday morning, run up and down the Brampton Valley Way. And I'd not really run for quite a few years. So I thought, oh, you know, get me out of the house on a Sunday morning. So I kind of gate crashed. And then it went from there. I started to go along at the club nights, just got back into it again. You know, they're like a big family for me, and they've been pretty good. to me over the years. Why, even though I live in Cranfield now, I won't ever join another running club. They're still my club, and they always will be. And, you know, I like the people. I've met some really interesting people and some friends through kind of local running scene, like Michelle and yourself, and, you know, other people who I then bump into at work because I didn't know. but they're a good club. They're very supportive. I think the direction they've been taking in now is really good. They're quite inclusive.
And then you mentioned sort of earlier that part of the reason you run so many events is because people at the club are there twisting your arm to get entered into them and keep you going along and adding to that bling collection.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Invariably, Bob and I tend to find these things, and then one of us will say, oh, have you tried this one yet? So we'll go along and have a go. Yeah, I try and find stuff local, like I said, and if it goes all back into the community, that's even better for me. And if they're a small local running club, like the guys who put on the Shires and Spires and, you know, the Northampton Half, it's better supporting them. Big Cow running in Milton Keynes. They're a smallish one, but they put a lot of events on. So I try to go along and do those rather than do the big kind of Activcom or any of the bigger companies.
And we are quite lucky in the area, aren't we, with quite a lot of very different running race organisers. So Go Beyond is obviously the one that does Shires and Spires and so on. You mentioned Big Cow as well. We have quite a lot. There are a lot of races available for people to get into, despite the fact that across the country, you know, you hear a lot about race numbers and going down at the moment. It's quite hard, but we seem to have a good scene in North Hants.
I think so. I think in Bedfordshire as well, they've still been reasonably well attended, and Milton Keynes. So I think locally, yeah, you're right. I think we're still, you know, if you want to run against people, that, you know, there's decent events and they're still being put on. There's one over in Oxfordshire, Hook Norton, which is really good, put on by a decent club. It's only 6 miles, it's 2 laps, but it's hilly. So if you do sign up for it, be aware. You know, and they're another local club and they put it on themselves. And, you know, they even tried it just after COVID, you know, before, when they relaxed most of the restrictions, and they were really good too. So, you know, it's good to support them to try and get it back on track.
If you were speaking to anybody who's looking to get into running, what would you say to them? Why do you love the sport, and why should other people get involved in it?
For me, it's headspace. Because of the job I do, it's quite stressful. And I have a routine where usually I'd shut the laptop around 4 o'clock. By about 4:30, I'm out. And I'd normally run for about an hour. And by the time I come back, you know, on whatever stuff's happened during the day has just been sort of run out. And it keeps you fit. You know, I am getting on a bit now, so, you know, this is doing the running keeps you fit and healthy, and keeps you mentally healthy as well. So I would always encourage people to take it up, and maybe put through parkrun, to be honest. You know, because it's quite supportive. You know, you're not going to finish last because there's always somebody behind you. And the people are really great. And that's how you meet some of the other people that you get to run with, and then you go to races with them and things like that. And, you know, it's couch to 5K programs. There's a few of those that get run locally as well. I'd always encourage people to take it up.
Yeah, because we've spoken about how you do every sort of distance and every event you can. But on top of that, there's part run as well, isn't there?
Yes. I'm at 245 or 6 at the moment. Well, Laura Burton, if she listens, she's going to beat me to 250. A little bit galling, but, you know, fair play to her. I have slacked off a little bit. So.
And do you do most of those? I mean, I kind of know the answer to this, but for people listening, do you do most of those at one place? Do you do a lot of touring? Do you go around different places?
I tend to do it at most. My local one's the Forest of Marston Vale, but I did most. Biggest chunk in Northampton, but I have done some others elsewhere. I did 2 in Orkney when I was up there at Christmas time. 1 at Newbury when we did Endure 24, which I would encourage people to do if they're really interested in that, but that's just a different level of running. I think it was the sleep deprivation that got me.
Yeah, I think I've seen an Instagram post. I was going to talk to you about part run, but I've remembered I did want to talk to you about Endure as well, because I saw a post about that when you were sort of saying that was the race that kind of broke you more than any other.
Yeah, it was. It was at a point in my life where I had a lot of other stuff going on, and maybe I shouldn't have gone and run that as well, because that was hard work. and trying to sleep and then getting up to go for a run. And yeah, that just destroyed me.
And for those who might not know, just talk them through quickly what that event consists of.
We were a team of five, but you can be a single if you're crazy, or you can be a team of eight. And it's basically to run as many laps or as many miles as you can within a 24-hour period. And I think we won the team event when we did it. Five-man team, I think. Yeah, we did all right. But yeah, that came at a cost because a lot of us were extremely tired at the end. So a very frayed nerves of people who wouldn't normally be twitchy. it's a bit of an experience.
Did you manage to grab any sleep at all, or was it literally stay out for all 24 hours and suddenly have to run again?
I didn't even sleep at all. I tried and I couldn't. And generally, I can sleep anyway. I can sleep in airports and places like that, but I couldn't sleep. So it was extremely tough.
But you not only completed it, you as a team, you won it. So in the end,
That was mainly down to Illy and Tom Smith at the time. But Illy, because he was just a machine, he just kept. And I unfortunately had the dubious honour of following him because he was first and I was the second in the rotor. So, of course, he was maintaining his quick speed and I didn't get any breathing space. So it was his fault.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd have been fine. You could have had some kip if he'd have been a bit slower.
Yeah, Illy was doing, knocking him out about 40-ish minutes, 45 minutes. 50, I think, was his slowest one. Yeah, and it was going really well, but yeah, at the cost of I couldn't get any kip.
Again, I think that kind of goes to what you were saying earlier about just doing different things, getting those different experiences in, and running can really bring that to you. You know, everything from part run to an event like that, they're incredibly different.
Yeah, they are. And there's always something if you can find it. I've done a couple of obstacle races with people from work, which involves a little bit of running, but some interesting kind of Farmageddon. We did the Wolf Run. We did a race at twilight. That was a bit of a crazy one. Yeah, so there's always something if you can find it. And yeah, we did Squeaky Bone a few years ago. Myself, I've done it twice. I did it with Stuart Drummond, Dave Green and Richard. And I did it again with a couple of other people. Yeah, and I wore a koala onesie and a teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle the first time I did it. Yeah, the koala onesie was probably a bit of a silly mistake.
Yeah, you don't want it to be hot that day.
I was very warm by the time I finished, but yeah, Brian, who used to be at the club, I still talk to him occasionally. He ran in bear outfit. It was a bit of an unusual one. Yeah. Mark Rose, he was dressed as Goldilocks. So I think the idea was Goldilocks and the Three Bears. So,
yeah. And just to finish off, Pete, what races, what plans have you got lined up? What's coming next for you on this journey?
In the near future, my friends asked me to step in for their team, a relay at the marathon weekend in Milton Keynes. I've signed up to do the Rocket Run as well. So I should be helping my friend across the road. And then beyond that, we might be going back to the Faroe Islands because there's a race. Well, we signed up to do the 10K distance and my girlfriend wants to do that. So I'll run with her. It's kind of closure. First time we went, she was having cancer treatment. Second time was just afterwards. So we want to go again. It's kind of like a closure for it. So yeah, she's currently doing the Couch to 5K to get into a position where, you know, try and run most of the bits we can, but some of it you'll just have to walk up or walk down. And then beyond that, whatever I manage to find.
Well, I think that Faroe one sounds fantastic, and what a brilliant way to be able to sort of bring that experience as a whole, which would have had some, I'm guessing, some really dark elements to it, but some really good elements as well. So that'll be fantastic. And I wish you luck with that. I wish you luck with all your other runs coming up. And Pete, thank you so much for joining us to have a chat today on Running Tales.
Cheers. You take care.
Thanks again to Pete Moore for joining me to chat today on the Running Tales podcast. Please take the time to go and give us a review on Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. It really makes a difference so we can tell stories just like Pete's. As I'm talking now, the Boston Marathon is going on in the background behind me. Well, not literally in Boston, but on the TV. So a massive well done to everybody listening who completed that yesterday. And a huge good luck to everyone taking on London next week, including Michelle, who will be completing, with a bit of luck, her 18th marathon on Sunday. We'll be doing some updates on the Running Tales page as that goes along, so keep an eye out there. Otherwise, please join us again next week, same time, same place, for another Running Tales podcast.